2, 3 o'clock, 4 o'clock, rock.
Around the world, echo the news. Russia had blasted a man-made moon into outer space.
One small step for man, one giant leap for mankind.
Well, I'm not a crook.
I learned it by watching you.
I did not have sexual relations with that woman.
We are calling it iPhone.
Today we've had a national tragedy. Two airplanes have crashed into the World Trade Center.
I am inevitable.
Okay, we're back. So this is mini episode 1.4. We're still in quarantine. Or 1.5 maybe. I think I started my first mini episode, JFK Moments, as 1.2. So this will be 1.5, I believe. We are still in our, I don't want to call it quarantine, but kind of self-isolation mode here in the state of Kansas, as most of the country is. Trying to do our best. Our family's playing a pretty heated game of Risk, which is kind of cool. Our kids are going to school remotely, on like video chats. My youngest son, who I'm the scoutmaster of his scout troop, we're going to meet remotely this week for the first time and see how that goes. So it's an interesting time. Everybody's trying to kind of muddle through this weirdness, and you know, this is a worldwide thing. So you know, bless us all, and hopefully we'll get through it. Tonight, like I promised last week, the Bermuda Triangle. We're going to talk a little bit about it. So there for my drink today, I have a glass with some ice. I've got about 2 fingers of rum in it. And then a little bit of ginger beer. I don't have a lemon, but we're going to say it's close enough. And we're going to do a dark and stormy. Seems like the perfect drink for the Bermuda Triangle discussion, since the ginger beer was used on many ships that traveled through the Bermuda Triangle back in the day, and with sailors' love of rum. Thus, the drink became about. I'm actually using Bermuda ginger beer, and it's pretty darn good. So, Bermuda Triangle. We have an Atari game called Bermuda Triangle we're going to play. There's a Bermuda Triangle board game by Milton Bradley I've been trying to get a hold of for years and have not been able to. Of course, there's been, I mean, this is pop culture phenomenon, you know, and there's so many things. It's not as big of a deal now as it was in the late 70s and early 80s when I was a kid, but there's so many things that are that way. I mean, stuntmen, I mean, there were movies about stuntmen. My idol was, you know, or one of my major idols was Evel Knievel, as many kids. Truckers, you know, I mean, 18-wheelers, you know, guys that drove 18-wheelers, you know, they were like the coolest people on earth. I remember, you know, going on a road trip with my family with this tiny little Pontiac orange car. It didn't have, the back seat wasn't like a bench seat. It had like this carpeted hump that went through the middle, and that's where I would have to sit, you know, and it would heat up because like the drivetrain went through there. It was pretty uncomfortable. We'd drive to Arkansas in the middle of summer with the windows up, no air conditioning. My dad was special order cars with no air. He was a environmentalist. It'd be about 400 degrees in there. Both my parents would be smoking. It's really amazing I'm alive. But, you know, you drive by an 18-wheeler, and, you'd put your arm up, and you'd pull it down, and, man, they'd hit that horn, and, oh, man, it was a thrill. And, you know, right along with things that people don't seem to care about anymore, in the late 70s and early 80s was the Bermuda Triangle. The dark and stormy is good. Best drink I've made so far. So, Fleetwood Mac had a song about the Bermuda Triangle. Barry Manilow had a song about the Bermuda Triangle. In 1975, there was a TV movie called Satan's Triangle. that talked about it. And of course, the Bermuda Triangle, this is it's a stretch of water that goes from Puerto Rico to Bermuda and Miami. It makes a triangle. And you know, it was called the Devil's Triangle, Satan Triangle. In 77, Leonard Nimoy did an In Search Of, about the Bermuda Triangle. There was a Wonder Woman episode with Linda Carter about the Bermuda Triangle. I mean, it goes on and on. But it wasn't until, I think it was Charles Blitz, if I get this right, wrote a book, late 70s. And he called it the Bermuda Triangle because somebody had wrote a newspaper article about it and had named it that. I don't think it was meant to stick necessarily. 74, 76, they made a movie. 78, maybe. They made a movie. Made for TV movie. I remember watching as a kid. So what's so mysterious about this chunk of water? Let's talk about that, shall we? All right. I feel pretty comfortable because nobody's listening. So, hey, there you go. So the Bermuda Triangle, like I said, it's a section of the Atlantic Ocean. Kind of draws some imaginary lines. Goes from, you know, Bermuda to the south tip of Florida to Puerto Rico, back to Bermuda. Or from, you know, Florida to Puerto Rico to Bermuda, back to Florida. Or Puerto Rico to Bermuda, Florida, back to Puerto Rico. It could be the Puerto Rican Triangle or the Floridian Triangle. But like I said, that the Bermuda Triangle, that name kind of just stuck in the late 70s. On December 5th, 1945, an entire training team of 14 airmen five TBM Navy Avenger bombers, they departed on a training mission from Fort Lauderdale, and they vanished in the triangle after reporting that their instruments have gone crazy. A rescue plane with a crew of 13 people dispatched immediately, and it also vanished. And they were never able to find any parts of the airplanes or any sign of anything. So, on February 2nd, 1963, a 400-foot freight liner disappeared in the Bermuda Triangle without a single trace of debris. There's been about 100 planes and ships that have vanished in the area. So there's a number of theories to this. Devil's Triangle, or the Triangle of Death, or the Lost Sea of Ships. The Graveyard of the Atlantic is what sailors called it way back in, like, Columbus's day. You know, there were ships that were lost there. Nobody really knows what the deal is. Some people, of course, UFOs are a number one thing. Some people believe the Lost City of Atlantis is down there, but that's pretty ridiculous. Because if you know anything about history, the only person that ever wrote about the Lost City of Atlantis never would have come to that area or even close to it. So clearly Atlantis would have been somewhere in Greece or something like that. But regardless, people believe that. Space time warps, black holes, kind of wormholes, you know, type things. People kind of think that. Third dimensions, things like that. It is in an area where, because of the triangulation, the sea can get really crazy real quick. That doesn't really explain why there's no debris found, but that could explain that. And then recently they did a study on the atmosphere or something, and there was something that radioactivity was different. I don't remember what it is, that could mess with compasses and stuff. So, you know, the airplanes, for instance, that were lost in 45 on the training mission, a lot of people believe that their instruments became disoriented, the weather changed quickly, and they just lost sight of where they were and crashed. Maybe so. The Freightliner, for instance, people think it was carrying a different type of load that day, which was heavier, and they didn't weight it right. So they think a rogue wave might have taken it over. These are all theories for the people who don't want to believe in UFOs or giant squid. There's been sea monster sightings there since, the 1400s. So it's kind of a crazy area. But when I was a kid, it was so mysterious and so cool. And, you know, you wanted to believe so badly in, you know, the fact that there was some sort of race living under the sea or some sort of giant monster living under the sea or something like that. But, hey, you know, there isn't... it's not all romance. Sometimes it's science. But we don't know. I'm not judging. You know, I'm just saying when I was a kid, it was pretty damn cool. So we're going to play an Atari game quickly here called the Bermuda Triangle. I'm going to read a little bit. It's by Data Age. And I'm going to read basically what you would get when you bought the game. This is what you'd be reading in your little pamphlet from the box. All right. Deep Sea Survival Basics. In a mysterious bottle of water near the Atlantic Sea, known as the Bermuda Triangle, an unusual number of planes have vanished in very bizarre circumstances. To this day, the Bermuda Triangle is an unsolved mystery. Or is it? Dun, dun, dun. I added the dun, dun, dun. It wasn't in there. Okay. In your mini-sub, you will discover a spectacular city at the bottom of the ocean. Its machinery still churns, yet there is no sign of intelligent life. Suddenly you spot several odd-looking artifacts. Could they hold the key to the mystery of the Bermuda Triangle? Maybe. But one thing is for certain. They must be extremely valuable. Because why not? But watch out. Out of nowhere, a deadly laser beam blasts past your vessel. Survive them, and you will still have to face off with giant squids, man-eating sharks, explosive mines, and aquatic drones, all determined to prevent you from removing these treasures. Data Age Video Games. Deep Space Expedition Objectives. You must guide your mini-sub into the mysterious underwater city, collect many priceless artifacts as you can, then deliver them to your research ship waiting on the surface before your mini-subs are destroyed. Research ship. The research ship is counting on you to deliver the valuable treasures from the bottom of the ocean. Mini sub, which is what you're driving, an advanced one-man submarine equipped with a very special energy pod that can release a powerful tractor beam on command. This tractor beam can be used to capture undersea treasures, valuable artifacts, which would be the undersea treasures. Tekron modular unit. These appear to be some form of communication device, yet at this time, this is only a guess. They may be found in several locations under the city. And then there's water dissociation module. These are also scattered around the city where apparently used at some time to separate water into hydrogen and oxygen gas. These gases, in turn, were most likely directed to fuel cells to generate electricity. Ooh, Corbinian cube. Although these strange objects can be found throughout the city, their purpose is still a mystery. Objects to avoid. Good lesson learned here. Giant squid. These creatures thrive in the warm waters above the city. Connect with them and you will temporarily be immobilized and you will lose all the valuables you've just collected. Man-eating shark. Connect with a shark and you will also result in temporary mobilization and loss of valuable cargo. Aquatic drones. Remote-controlled saucer-shaped objects that patrol the underwater city. To save your cargo, you must also avoid these objects. Explosive mines. Armed with sensitive contact fuses, these devices must be avoided at all costs. Contact one of these and your mini-sub will be vaporized. The Bermuda Bomb. That sounds like a drink right there, doesn't it? You'll have to maybe come up with something there. This device can be found within the city. Its purpose is unknown, but don't try to pick it up. It is equipped with an anti-tamper fuse that will trigger an explosion if disturbed. Ooh. Enemy ship. On the surface is an unidentified enemy ship that will steal your cargo and destroy your mini sub if you get too close. Now, I got confused by these. I hadn't played this game since I was little. And your ships are up top, and there's enemy ships up top, and they're different colors. And I went to unload cargo a couple times. Instead, I lost my cargo and got blowed up. So you want to be careful there. How to play Bermuda Triangle Expedition. One, hook up your video game system according to manufacturer's instructions. Two, with your game console powered off, firmly plug in the Bermuda Triangle game cartridge. That was big in the day. I don't know if that's still a thing. You always had the game had to be turned off before you put a new game in. Turn the console power on if the picture appears, or if no picture appears, check to make sure your game unit is hooked up correctly to your TV. Then try steps 1 through 3 again. Adjust the brightness of your TV for best contrast. 5. Plug your joystick controller into the left receptacle for the game controller. For two players, use both joystick controllers. Player 1 uses the left, player 2 uses the right. 6. Select the game versions you want by depressing the game select switch on the game console. There are 4 variations. Game 1, single player, laser beam comes into play after 10,000 points. Game 2, two-player, laser beam comes into play after 10,000 points. Game 3, single-player, laser beam comes into control at the beginning of game. And game 4 is the two-player where it comes in at the beginning of the game as well. I can't get near 10,000 points for some reason. It's a difficult game for a couple of reasons, and I'll explain that when I play the game. So I play on the easy version. I couldn't imagine trying to play on the hard version where the laser beam comes into play right away. 7. Select the level difficulty for 1 or 2 players by the difficulty switch. 8. Depress the reset switch and then press the red fire button on the game to start play. 9. When a player loses a mini sub, his turn will be over. To launch a second mini sub, press the red fire button on your joystick. If there are 2 players, player 2 must press the red fire button for his player, and then when he dies, it goes back and forth. So you're not playing together, as most games in the day were. You know, 2 players, you just played one after another. Scoring, if your joystick controller, use your joystick to propel your mini sub through the treacherous waters of the Bermuda Triangle. Then use your fire button to launch your rocket-powered projectiles at dangerous obstacles in your path. Earn 50 points every time you knock out a killer shark, giant squid, or aquatic drone. Each time you destroy an explosive mine, you gain 200 points. You will score a bonus of 600 points each time you collect an artifact from the underwater city and deliver it to your research vehicle. To accomplish this, you must first take your mini sub to the maximum depth as far as it will go on your TV screen. Attempting to descend further will release your powerful tractor beam, shown as a column of light. It kind of reminds me of the tractor beam they use in Cosmic Arc, which is one of my favorite games. At that time, you will hear a deep bass tone. You must use the tractor beam to collect valuable artifacts at a rapid series of tones. We'll let you know that your cargo is in your possession. Now you must deliver the valuable cargo to the research ship waiting on the surface. If any obstacles along your way touch you, will lose your cargo, and also 100 points will be deducted from your score. If you make the delivery to the research vehicle, it will blink, indicating that it has received the cargo. However, when you receive 600 points, you will receive 600 points only after the research vehicle has safely crossed the screen. For each 10,000 points you score, you will gain an additional mini-sub, but there's a maximum number of mini-subs of 3. That's the most you can have at one time. Since the obstacles in the Bermuda Triangle can attack from both sides, you should avoid extreme right or left parts of the screen. This will give you time to respond, and I'll talk about that when I play the game, because that's not exactly. It is, but since the obstacles, in game 1 and 2, when you reach a score of 10,000 points, then that's when the laser beam comes into effect. What happens is the city will blink, and it will shoot a laser beam at your ship. If you're in the path of that, you get destroyed and lose your cargo. So anyway, and then it goes into the warranty. I don't think you guys want me to read about the limited warranty for data age. So I think it's time that we do that thing that we do and play this game.
Shall we play a game?
Okay. Here we go. So on your screen, your mini sub's kind of orange. You can tell it looks like a sub. The graphics are actually pretty good. It looks like a sub. The flying saucers look like your traditional flying saucer. They're green on top and bottom, like a couple paper plates put together, with sort of like a yellow ladders type thing in the middle, and kind of a blinking light on top. Squids look like squids. They go both directions. You've got green ships and red ships. The red ships are your enemy ships, and the green ships are your cargo ships. So that's where I was saying earlier, I delivered goods up to a ship and blew up and was confused and then realized there's two different colored ships. And that's when I went to Atari Age and kind of got what would be equivalent to instructions. The bombs kind of look like kryptonite from Superman almost, but a little bit more advanced. If anybody's played, you know, Superman, one of my favorite games. And then the sharks, I mean, they look like sharks. You can really tell what everything is. The city down below, it's just a bunch of blocks. I mean, it's not as good as, like, I would have liked to have maybe seen, I don't know if you played the game Atlantis, another Atari game, but that'd be good. The objects are kind of neat. They're, you know, fairly well detailed for the old Atari system. So, let's play it and see what happens. I'm very bad at it. But, we'll, I lost it. Gained it, and I lost it. Every time I get near to my sub. Now, here's the thing about when they said, say, in the center of the screen, that does help you, but not as much as you would think, because it's not, you can't turn backwards to shoot. You're still only going towards the right-hand side of the television screen at all times. So, I mean, I can sit here and shoot these things for a long time, but every time I go down to get something, oh, something like that happens. And it's right there. Come on, get something. Oh, okay, that is a bomb. I tried to lift up before I can get there, and I couldn't. Oh, no, don't do that. All right, let's see if we can deliver this. No, we can't. All right, so we got our first cargo up there. There's a lot more bombs than there are other things. So if you could go, if you could go shoot both ways, this game would be a whole lot easier. Or if the objects that you shoot were worth way more points. The only object that kills you when you bump into it is the bomb, which is what just happened to me. The objects, the giant squid, or the giant squid, or the man-eating sharks, or the saucers, when you bump into those, you're just playing. There's three cargoes up there. That's the best I've done, really. You're just playing immobilized for a minute. And, of course, you lose your cargo. But a bomb, you not only lose your cargo, but you die just like that. So I only have one life left. Ugh. Don't hit that. That'll kill you. And that was my life. All right. So now you can hear me shooting, but that's dead screen, you know, when you're dead. All right. So let's talk about the game. I think the graphics are pretty cool for an Atari game. One of the cooler, actually, games in my collection. I love the mysteriousness of the Bermuda Triangle. So, of course, that's fun for me. The sharks are cool, like I said. The squids are cool. The spaceships are cool. I think, you know, overall, it's a pretty good game. It is a little almost too difficult in my eyes. Maybe I just haven't played it enough. I think this game's been sitting around. I think the last time I played it was maybe 15 years ago. And then before that, you know, when I was a kid. I will say that I give it... I talk about gameplay a lot. So what I mean by gameplay is, let's take a game that you're going to rank it from 1 to 10. I mean, a game like Mario has a gameplay of 10. People play it over and over and over again. You know, there's so many different things you can do and ways you can go. So I give it a score of 10. And then there are games that you're just like, you kind of get bored with kind of quick, you know. I mean, the reason why Tetris is such a great game is because it has gameplay at 10. You can play it over and over again because things are going to be different. So that's kind of when I talk about gameplay, what I'm talking about. Like, how would you rank it, you know? That's why when we played Combat on our first episode, I said it had great gameplay because you can do, you know, it's different. Every opponent's different, you know. There's so many different ways with the invisible tanks and bouncing off walls and mazes and open areas and so forth. This one has good gameplay, but I think if it was a little less difficult, if the objects weren't as... I mean, you're surrounded as soon as you start going on the screen at any given time. At most times, there's 7 or 8 obstacles you're dodging in between. And so it's fairly difficult to play, and so for that I'm going to give it a gameplay of like 6, and I maybe 7, but that's a lot of that has to do with the fact that I love the Bermuda Triangle, and I love the mystery around it. You know, you can sit there and say, well, they've taken storm patterns, and you know, they see what it does to navigational objects and this and that, and it's all, you know, explained that way. But I don't know if I buy that 100% because I don't know if I want to. You know, I like to live in the make-believe a little bit. I think we all should, maybe a little more. So that's going to be it for this episode. I hope that you guys liked hearing a little bit about the Bermuda Triangle game for the Atari. I really want to get people involved, so hopefully we get a listener or two. You guys can tell us stories of your childhood and the games that you've loved. I believe that next week I'm going to have an episode on my version of the resurrection of Christ. So that'll be fun for my 0 listeners to listen to. Anyway, I want everybody to stay safe and remember that things are going to be okay.